Live from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
This sentence is unfair. It's unbalanced. It's negligence.
Now at 6, anger and emotion. The testimony from the families who lost loved ones in the ghost ship warehouse fire.
Plus, forced to flee, the evacuations underway as flames rip through a Southern California neighborhood, threatening homes.
And taking a stand, the NFL players making social justice protests during the national anthem as they hit the field. Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, August 10th. I'm Michelle Griego.
And I'm Ann Makovic, and for Kenny Choi. Let's start off your Friday morning 6 o'clock hour with a live look outside on the left-hand side of your screen. A gorgeous shot of the city in San Francisco. There are some pockets of fog hanging around, and you can see a lot more of them on the right-hand side of your screen there. A look at the Golden Gate Bridge, where traffic is moving pretty smoothly. Unfortunately, we can't say the same for the East Bay. We had a major issue earlier this morning.
Yeah, two accidents in the same location, one in the northbound, one in the southbound, about an hour apart. So that is the hot spot this morning in Milpitas, 680 right near Jacklin Road. If you're heading through that stretch, please be careful. I don't know what's going on, but it's definitely a problem for drivers this morning. Southbound direction, all lanes have just reopened after an injury motorcycle crash had them all blocked for some time. We can see that speeds are in the yellow, still slowdowns as you approach Mission Boulevard. And then once you get past Jacklin, things do start to pick up. If you are headed along 880, we are dealing with delays. An earlier crash no longer blocking lanes, but still has traffic backed up well into San Lorenzo. Heading into Hayward, your ride is going to be a slow one. It's in the yellow, likely to jump into the red here any minute. 15 minutes down towards the Dumbarton Bridge. No delays over at the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza. Things are wide open spaces on the roadways along that stretch, so enjoy Friday-like conditions there. Let's check in with Brian now on the forecast.
Righty, Jacqueline, we've got a beautiful start to the morning with fog kind of veiling the base of Sutrocam, as you can see in this live shot. Sutro, the top of it, 1,811 feet just above the layer of fog that's coming in. Well, more than just above. Concord right now, we're getting off to a mostly sunny start. Inland, 58 degrees there. San Jose, 60. Santa Rosa, a little bit chilly at 48. Visibility, not too bad, but as you get closer to the shoreline, especially coming across the Golden Gate Bridge, is not so golden this morning. With plenty of fog out there, we'll get some morning fog and low clouds. Little better air quality today and some cooling this weekend. In terms of the numbers, San Jose hits 85 today, 96 in Livermore, 93 in Santa Rosa, and in San Francisco, 67. More weather in a few minutes, but first, let's get the latest. Here's Ann and Michelle.
Well, in just a few hours, the sentencing hearing for the two men responsible for the ghost ship warehouse fire will resume.
Katie Nielsen is here now to tell us what we can expect in court today.
Michelle, now yesterday, family members of the victims got to make their emotional pleas to the judge. This morning, the family members of the two men who ran the warehouse will ask just for leniency. Now, both men responsible for running the warehouse pleaded no contest to 36 counts of involuntary manslaughter. As part of that deal, master tenant Derek Almena agreed to 9 years in county jail, while creative director Max Harris agreed to 6 years. The fire started on December 2nd, 2016, during a party the two men threw at the warehouse off of 31st Avenue in Oakland. Fire investigators say the electrical wiring and emergency exits weren't up to code, and when a fire started just before midnight, 36 people were unable to get out of the building and died. Families of some of the victims say the sentence was nothing more than a slap on the wrist. Their attorney is asking the judge to dismiss the plea bargain or change the sentencing.
This sentence is bankrupt.
3 months for Almena and 2 months for Harris for each of those lives was way too short.
Now, the reason it's only 2 to 3 months for each life lost, both men are getting credit for time they've already served in jail while waiting for the trial. That means Almena could be released in 3.5 years and Harris just under 2 years. Now, today, the family members of both of those defendants will have a chance to speak, asking the judge for leniency. Right now, the jail sentences are based on that plea bargain, but the judge could change that if he's swayed by the testimony.
In Orange County, the Holy Fire is marching closer to homes. This is a live look at the fire. You can see a lot of smoke in that area from this chopper shot. This fire has forced at least 20,000 people from their homes, and people are coming together to help their neighbors pack up and get out. Most people are not taking any chances, but not everyone is leaving. This family decided to stay behind and protect their home, and their strategy is to use buckets filled with water to try to save the house if the flames get too close.
We're going to put them on the roof, so I guess, you know, if the flames hit it, melt the bucket, water maybe put it out.
So far, the Holy Fire has burned more than 10,000 acres. Right now, it is 5% contained. Meanwhile, the man accused of starting that fire will be arraigned today after refusing to go to court yesterday. 51-year-old Forrest Clark faces several charges, including felony arson. He's accused of deliberately starting the Holy Fire on Monday. Police say his home is one of the few in his neighborhood still standing. Clark could face life in prison if convicted.
New details about a Vallejo house fire that killed a mother and two children. Investigators now say the woman intentionally set herself on fire, and those flames ignited the house early Sunday morning. Mao Dao and her 14-year-old twin daughters died. A third 11-year-old daughter escaped through a window. Police are now calling this a case of suicide, resulting in two homicides.
Investigators are revealing more about the cause of the deadly collapse of a pedestrian bridge in Miami back in March. The NTSB now says cracks were found along the bridge 3 days before the accident. Six people were killed when the 174-foot-long part of the bridge fell about 18 and a half feet. Eight others were hurt. The NTSB is trying to determine what could have caused the structural failure.
6:06 and a deadline set on Capitol Hill. President Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani says special counsel Robert Mueller has to wrap up his investigation by next month.
According to Giuliani, the Department of Justice rules stipulate Mueller's Russia probe must stop 60 days before the midterm election. He's referencing guidance the department generally abides by to avoid making public announcements that could influence election results during that period. However, there is no written rule forbidding investigations close to election times.
And prosecutors in Paul Manafort's financial fraud trial say they expect to rest their case today. Earlier this week, star witness Rick Gates was confronted about embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars from Manafort and was forced to admit to an extramarital affair. Manafort served as President Trump's campaign chairman for about 6 months.
Players on at least five NFL teams are making social justice protests during the national anthem. A few 49er teammates did kneel last night, but they made sure to stand up as soon as the anthem began. Receiver Marquise Goodwin was also raising his arm. And in Miami, receivers Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson of the Dolphins, they took a knee and another teammate raised a fist. Former 49er quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who started the act of kneeling during the anthem, tweeted support for the two players, calling on them to, quote, stay strong. At another game, two players for the Philadelphia Eagles also raised their fists, and a few players from Seattle and Jacksonville stayed in the tunnel during the anthem.
Well, I'm getting a little bit of FOMO today.
You
because,
are?
Because, yeah, there is the big annual event Outside Lands Music Festival kicking off today. You know what FOMO is?
FOMO, yeah.
Yeah. Fear of missing out.
Yes, I know.
I don't have tickets, Jackie.
I just learned that from my teenage daughter like a couple months ago. But it's pretty exciting, Jackie, because it's quite the lineup for this.
Yeah, you know, and that was my first question for Michelle, if she actually knew what FOMO meant.
I'm
really glad you asked her that. And Michelle, I'm really proud of you for knowing. Okay, but yeah, this is a pretty great gig, especially on a Friday. The 11th Outside Lands Festival is kicking off in just a few hours. And of course, festival organizers want everyone to take advantage of all of the food and the musical acts that they have to offer. But they're also hoping that people who come here learn a little something too. And this year is no different. A theme you'll see a lot of this year is female empowerment. It includes headliners Janet Jackson and Florence and the Machine. Outside Lands organizers said finding female artists to feature as the main attractions was really important to them, especially during the Me Too movement. The Weeknd is the third headliner, and other musical acts include Janelle Monáe, Odessa, Future, and Salt and Peppa, just a great variety of artists. While this festival is almost equally known for its top-notch food vendors as it is its music, there will also be something for cannabis fans, but it might not be exactly what you think.
The Grasslands area is really dedicated to learning and information about what's going on with cannabis. But yeah, there's no actual consumption or sales of cannabis on site here at the festival.
In order to make the security lines run a bit smoother and faster this year, Outside Lands is changing up what is allowed inside the venue and what is not. Here's a list for you. You'll notice an emphasis on clear bags. So regular size backpacks or larger bags have to be a clear material. Fanny packs, small bags, and empty hydration packs are still okay, but any big non-clear bags or a large hydration pack with more than two pockets will not be allowed in. They will be confiscated at the gate. So hopefully you'll pay attention to those rules. The security gates open at 11 here, and the first musical acts take the three stages at noon today. At Golden Gate Park, Jackie Ward, KPIX 5.
Thanks, Jackie. Amid ongoing complaints over long wait times across the state, a new secret DMV office for lawmakers only is revealed.
And Facebook takes action against users sharing 3D gun blueprints. The new ban now in place.
And how researchers are treating a rare genetic disease with no cure that affects the kidneys. We'll be right back.